Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Oh, you're right. What's going on?
Guess what movie I was impersonating?
Were you doing John Hurt eating Chinese food in Alien?
No, but it's close. It's a 2017 film.
Is it Deadpool? That's
2017. Logan. The best coughing of 2017.
He did do a lot of coughing in that movie.
A lot of casual, like, hey, I'm sick, but like I'm not that sick yet, but I still got that cough. Like, was it from Zoolander? I got the black lung pop. So like when you watch Logan and he just does he's hiccuped. A lot of coughing.
It would have been completely appropriate for Hugh Jackman to have gotten, like, wasted until 5 a.m. before a 7 a.m. shoot for that.
Yeah, like, you know, he just coughed a lot. It was a good cough. It didn't feel totally organic. You know, I think there's been better coughs in cinema. I should do the best coughs of cinema post.
That'd be interesting, actually.
Like, aren't there some where they're like, oh, bullshit, like, stuff like that, like...
Well, and then there's like when Craig T. Nelson like started coughing, and then he vomited up a demon in Poltergeist 2.
It's a good cough. I'm gonna do a cough post.
Yeah. I wonder if they go over coughing in acting school. All right, class. This week we're gonna focus on coughing and other bodily functions,
like
farting, burping. Yeah.
What's tougher, sneezing or coughing?
On command.
Like, make it realistic. Acting-wise.
Okay, I need you to sneeze here. I really need you to sell it.
Man, like I feel like you could go – it'd be too easy to go over with sneezing, like overact. Yeah, exactly, like your eyes close. Or it'd be too easy to seem like fake with your coughing.
You know, I know people who just like totally – just make it like a whole production whenever they sneeze. They just they do the inhale.
They put their finger out?
Yeah. And then it just let it go, like, as loud as possible.
They put their finger, like, perpendicular under their nose, like it's Abbott and Costello.
Oh, no, to other people.
And by the end of it, they're all, like, bent over, like, at a 90-degree angle, just like, ugh.
Like, they look like they're headbanging at a concert.
I'm like, oh, really? Your allergy's that bad, huh? Like, yeah.
they just want attention.
Sure. Living good. How bad are your allergies? This allergy season.
Not. You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, though, I was really bad. Like, I had to take, what was it called? Zyrtec and Allegra and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I guess I just somehow eclosed from some magical cocoon free of my allergies.
It's just, I remember living in Tallahassee and just, I was never really allergic to pollen, but like living there for like a couple of years, like, it's hard not to be allergic because, you know, when it's the season, like, there's literally pollen everywhere. Like, your windshield is just covered in it. There's, like, this green film all over your windshield every morning. I'm just like, ugh. I don't know.
And what you have to remind yourself of is that your windshield is covered with tree sex.
Yes. it made me sick.
And the pollen drops. It doesn't, like... You know in the cartoons where the snow just drops and all of a sudden there's 4 foot of snow?
Yeah.
Like 4 feet of snow?
Uh-huh.
Like that's what pollen does. Like you go to bed, you wake up, and everything's covered.
It's like, oh, gross. And like,
Thanks, trees.
Yeah. Thanks for not wrapping it.
It's basically just The Happening. Oh, gosh. I wonder if that's what The Happening was about, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of pretty good title.
The Happening.
The pollinating.
What's going on?
Yeah. All right. When we start talking about tree sex, I think that's a good segue to how we usually start the show with listener questions. Let me get. I think you have questions for us this week.
So this question is from Josie from Las Vegas, and she asks, if the world really had vampires, like in Salem's Lot or Interview with the Vampire, would there be enough humans to sustain them? How long would it be until they actually exhausted their food supply?
Wasn't that a movie with Ethan Hawke?
Yeah, Daybreakers.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Not great, but that was pretty much the concept of the movie, right?
Oh, yeah, they were just basically drinking like the Diet Cola blood. And then the rest of the humans, they were being hunted to be like a blood farm for the rich vampires. So the rich vampires got the good blood.
Yeah.
While the other vampires got the true blood blood.
And yeah, because in True Blood, they did it too. They had the synthesized fake blood. You know, I didn't even think of either of those. Like, my mind went off to like the Matrix, or like how, you know, sometimes you have those people who are like, I guess, enamored, not magically, but like they're just really into zombies, or not zombies, vampires, and they let the vampires feed on them. Like, I was thinking of that, and like Matrix cropping and agriculture of humans. Like, I didn't even realize those practical approaches.
And I feel like vampires always work on like the periphery. Like, I don't think they're too into global domination.
Yeah, they're too busy like at a rave or something.
Well, and Stephen Dorff tried that, and that blew up in his face. Even the other vampires were like, "Whoa, Stephen Dorff!"
They wasted a lot of blood at that blood rave and Blade.
Yeah,
but then, I mean, is that good for the pipes when you put all that blood through? Because there's a lot of metals and acid in the blood. That's not good.
Who's the plumber? Are there are there vampire plumbers?
They had to totally redo that sprinkler system next week.
And who's cleaning the floor?
Not me. I quit.
They just hose it down, probably.
I would quit that day. That would be horrible when it like dries up and coagulates and stuff.
Yeah, get me out of there.
What a terrible job.
That's a waste of blood.
Like, and also, custodian.
30-day blood custodian, 30 days a night, they went to Alaska to kill people. Like, they're not like, I don't see many Interview with the Vampire. They were just like colonial and killing people occasionally.
Back when the population was very small, though.
That's and like, I don't know, Vampire in Brooklyn, they're all chilling. You know, like, I don't, except for maybe Daybreakers, I feel like vampires are just kind of like, hey, man, like, that's our food supply.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we've like learned to genetically engineer food. So
I guess like the one hitch would be like, if you were in a vampire world where your vampires were like, well, were less like sophisticated, thoughtful, intelligent vampire and more beastly vampire. And whenever someone survives, they turn into a vampire, and then you have more vampires, and then you turn into like this vampirocalypse or something, maybe. I don't know.
Like, even From Dusk Till Dawn, like, those are pretty legit vampires, and they were just kind of cool being truckers.
They seem pretty chill with it.
Yeah, they're like, we'll kill some truckers.
Like, you give them a few, like, Coronas and, like, a Selma Hayek strip, and they're happy.
Yeah, I mean, they're not looking for world domination. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of people in this world, and vampires only have a limited time to hunt. You know, garlic sales would go up.
If vampirism spread like rage zombieism did in 28 Days Later, I could see the concern. But vampires, even the craziest vampires, seem to have a good bit of control. Even the Dusk Till Dawn vampires were making calculated decisions.
Like, in 30 Days a Night, they were vicious, but they all looked like they had just gone clubbing. They were all dressed up really nicely.
Oh, yeah. Something like about becoming a vampire, like your fashion sense becomes very skewed towards a certain direction.
Well, you live longer, so you know you have plenty of time to develop your style.
Like, what we do in the shadows, they all just sort of hang out in New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never seen vampires really take over the world aside from Daybreakers.
You know, if you think about it, if you're immortal, do you really want to take over the world? Because like, once you take over the world, now you have to take care of it, and then you have like literally like all of eternity to do that. That's a big burden. Do you really want to take that on?
Like, some people don't even want, like, a turtle.
Yeah.
I don't want to take care of a turtle.
It's like,
I want to take care of the world.
No, think about it. All these villains who want to take over the world, they're not immortal. Like, once they take over the world, like, they don't have to worry about it for eternity. It's just the rest of their lives. But yep. If you're immortal, it's just like, well, I don't know. That's a really, really long time to take care of the world. I just want to do, like, other things.
And, like, according to Gods of Egypt, like, taking care of the world sucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you're literally putting the world on your shoulders.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, like, if you're Ra and you just spend your whole life up there fighting that, like, spectral dragon monster?
Yeah, it's horrible. And if you're, like an elitist, if you're, like, only vampire blood, right? Let's say you take over, right? And then it's all vampire blood. It's going to get boring.
Yeah. You really want to spend an eternity like that?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know.
Like,
not really.
Like when Lewis and Clark, you know, they went all the way to the West, they were like, crap. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
We're done. Now we got to walk back. This is terrible. You know, sometimes when you accomplish your dreams, you still got to walk across the country again.
It's like, oh, can I just fly back? Oh, yeah. Planes haven't been invented yet?
Right. Let me do that next.
Oh, man.
Right? I don't know. I guess... I think the only way they could do it is, like John said, if they went full zombie. Because zombies have no problem, like, eating their way through the world.
Sure.
Yeah, like, they don't finish you. They, like, they might bite you and then just see the next thing and move on. And then they're left an injured person who gets infected. And then they do it. And you have this logarithmic growth pattern from the CDC headquarters or something.
Yeah, like, vampires, whatever, man.
Sure.
They'd probably just enslave humanity. Have them make leather clothes for them. They keep cows alive.
Yeah.
For all
their
outfits.
Spend a lot of time lounging, as you've reviewed.
Yeah, in that movie, Underworld, there's like an entire mansion of vampires that lounge 24/7.
And then, what was it? Only lovers left alive?
They're lounging.
Lots of lounging.
Like, lots of like cool slow motion dancing.
Like the Interview with the Vampire ones, they're playing pianos, they're lounging.
They're just kind of walking. Like, there's a lot of strolling in Interview with the Vampire.
Like, a lot of vampires just seem to want to chill out.
Like, yeah, I mean, they seem like, yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Even Dracula, even classic Dracula, he strolls ever so slowly and elegantly through his castle holding a candelabra. Like, he's just chilling.
He doesn't really want people to mess. He takes a boat. He relaxes on the boat.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. He set up a whole dinner for Keanu and everything. Like, he could have just snagged him away and started draining him. But he went, like, elaborate. He's like, I'm going to have a nice dinner party first. I'm going to enjoy this.
He could have phoned it in.
Gary Oldman phones nothing in.
Yeah, he made a nice dinner for Keanu.
I mean, it's true. The more I think about it, yeah, like, this. Yeah, I don't think vampires have anything to worry about.
I think they'd just be like, leave us alone.
I don't know.
It's like, why are you guys on my food sources like this?
Honestly, being a vampire sounds stressful.
Yeah, it does. Like, you gotta, like, you know, like, you wear your nice clothes out. Let's say you have a snack. You got blood on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I just, if a vampire ever bit me and they just, like, left me alive, I would be pissed. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity just lounging around in the underground mansion in some sort of leather outfit. What have you done to me?
Like, where are you going to work? Like, you'd have to do a night job.
You do not want to get blood on leather.
Actually, telecommunicating has actually made it easier for vampires to work during the day now.
Oh, yeah. It's just the taxes get a little tricky. It's like, oh, what do I file as?
Hey, have you met Vlad? No, he's always working from home.
Yeah, he does pretty good work.
Yeah, I mean, I love his Linux.
Yeah,
he's really got the telecom script down. You'd think he was doing this for 100 years or something.
Yeah, his data his data mining is really impressive.
Oh yeah, he is a very persuasive personality. He could sell you anything.
He knows a lot about the Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just the Civil War, but every other war as well.
Yeah, it's like he was at the War of 1812.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So is that the final answer?
Yeah.
The War of 1812.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Was there another listener question?
Sort of.
Okay.
So everyone, thanks for joining us for our third podcast composed entirely of listener questions and the discussions around them. And if that sounds awesome to you, this is, again, our third episode doing this. We do this when we can't agree on movies to talk about. So
but John, you were just around the country doing a sub crawl, which you're basically just going from restaurant to restaurant eating sub sandwiches, and your listener questions accrued while you were gone.
It could be that. I mean, I do get a lot of listener questions, and
You do eat a lot of sub sandwiches.
I eat a lot of everything, pretty much. And so if anyone's a new listener, we solicit listener questions. Sometimes people just randomly submit listener questions. And as long as they're applicable, we take them from other podcasters, from fans of the show. And in the present case, I have a whole lot of listener questions. And some of them even date back to before the podcasts where we kind of answered the questions. And now we're just getting to the listener questions now. So we're going to be reviewing a little bit of stuff, but listener questions are fun. They create some of the most random discussions we ever have. I think that first question from Josie was a great example. That was a really fun listener question, by the way, about vampire diets.
Last week, I asked someone for listener questions, and they sent in, do they have to be topical? And I used that as a listener question.
That's the listener question.
Do they have to be topical?
No.
Yeah, I mean... It was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Mark, can you just wind us back in the clock a little bit, actually? When we first did listener questions, I can't even remember. It was years ago now. Did we just think it would be funny and you came up with them? Or were our first listener questions in, like, episode one or two actually from Friends of the Pod?
Yeah, we harassed all our friends at first.
Were they? I don't even remember. It was so far.
And then they just built from there. It was it was over 2 years ago.
I'm going to be referencing podcasts as we go through these questions. And when I started realizing like the episode numbers, it's like we've done quite a few of these.
Yeah.
We've referenced some of the characters that will be discussed in this podcast in 8 different podcasts. And I'm not even talking about Kurt Russell.
I don't know if that's something to brag about.
We've talked about Kurt Russell in about 70 podcasts.
We're like Samara. We go back to the well a lot.
We go back to the well. We go back to Big Trouble in Little China a lot. We go back to, it's interesting. Like, we've had a lot of listener questions about some of the characters that we're going to discuss today.
I think people just want to know more, or they don't listen to our podcast.
I mean, either that or maybe they just weren't 100% satisfied with the answer they got the first time, or they didn't agree with it, and they're just hoping that if they hit reset, they'll get something else.
Well, I'm going to go out of my... I'm the psycho remake of answering questions again. I just give the same answer.
Well, I don't know. We don't do that with Kurt Russell. I feel like we've reinvented the Kurt Russell timeline like 4 times, and it was a little different each time, like in Looper.
Did he have a fake chin?
But his dimple was a little off in each answer. The dimple shifted.
Makes sense.
Oh, no.
All right, so our first listener question. By the way, all these listener questions, I just decided to take them all from one submitter who submitted a lot of questions, and they were all about horror. So here they go. More from Josie. So way back in episode
7. All these questions are from Josie?
So over a year ago, Josie submitted, and I shit you not, about 30 questions all at once. Like 30. And that's why it took me so long to get to them. That's why we have filtered through, like, we're going to reference back like 20 episodes ago where we kind of answered these questions like in part, and then I'm just now getting to the questions. And I didn't remember that. I wish I remembered those questions then. I could have plugged them in.
So we're covering podcast questions we've covered before?
Well, not podcast questions, but podcast topics.
Let's do it.
So in episode 77, Mark, you did the Alfred Hitchcock pod. Now, I don't think you got too into the birds, because Josie wanted to know what made the birds in the birds so crazy, and why do they not try to attack the main characters at the end of the movie when the characters casually walk out of their car or walk to their car to the drive away? Is it noise that makes them angry? Is it movement? Is it quick movement? Why isn't the town quarantined or something?
So quick history. The Birds is based on a short story. And then also a couple of years before The Birds took place, there's this really weird disturbance with all these birds, where apparently these birds, they started eating some poisoned...
like berries?
So this is a neurotoxin. It attacks the nervous system. It has been linked to many cases of human poisoning because it can build up to dangerous levels in shellfish that feed by filtering plankton from the water. So these birds were eating a lot of these, they were diving in the ocean, they were eating the plankton, all this kind of stuff, and they got shellfish poisoning. And they dive bombed this neighborhood, and a lot of them were flying into windows, and they were all dying. No one really knew how to explain it, but eventually they found out that the birds were poisoned. And, like, so the birds were, like, straight up poisoned by all that stuff. And also, there was another time when it was really foggy, and there was a flock of birds coming in who weren't totally, like, familiar with the area, and they just kind of dive bombed towards the light that was downstairs, that was on land, and a ton of birds flew into streetlights and homes and kind of smashed against the windows. So between the book, these two cases, Alfred Hitchcock got the idea for The Birds.
So when the birds didn't attack the main characters at the end of the movie,
they were tired.
Like, yeah. I just figured it was because maybe they pooped out all the poison krill that they ate.
They were exhausted.
Yeah,
they're exhausted from attacking those people for 90 minutes.
Levengood, Lazavath, when you harass people for like 12 plus hours, you're tired.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And if they live, you're kind of like, fair enough.
All right, just get on your way, and I'll get on my mind, and right? We'll just call it a day.
I think they just got tired.
Sure.
Would these have been the same birds that were in Resident Evil Part 3?
Ugh.
You love those birds.
I feel like that scene takes like an hour.
It's a long scene.
It's like a bunch of birds. There's an action scene involving zombie birds.
Do you think that it was a windy day when Mark Wahlberg and John Leguizamo were in The Happening and the birds just flew through a big cloud of pollen from The Happening, and that's what made him angry?
I'm sure. Because, would the wind kill the birds, too?
I don't know. Maybe it makes avian organisms angry and humans suicidal.
Interesting. I got attacked by a bird once. It was terrifying.
Do you think that Hitchcock is very much a prophet and that he was forecasting bird flu, but forecasting it incorrectly?
I just think he told a story about birds that got angry and then they got tired.
It's fair. They could have gotten tired. That is a very simple explanation that didn't cross my mind in my bird flu The Happening umbrella corporation hypothesis.
And they straight up tell you sometimes, like, don't look afraid. So if you just casually stroll, the birds are like, I get what you're doing, and I appreciate it.
Hmm. Right? You walk like a bird.
Like a bird.
I mean, yeah, what do you think, Laz?
I don't know. They never really explain why the birds went crazy in the movie, right? Or at least I can't remember if they did.
No, they don't. The birds just go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like their team won, like, the national championship in basketball, and they rioted.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to think, like, some old lady, like, she just dropped, like, her her bag of bread, and then, like, the birds there started going crazy and just kind of spread from there.
Just from bread? Oh, I like it. The bread hypothesis.
Oh, yeah.
And then it started, like, a turf war, because then the gulls and the crows were like, hey, you know?
Yeah. The birds was actually a side story to the main story. There was actually a big war between the gangs of birds going on.
It was like gangs in New York.
Yeah.
But gangs of a small coastal town.
Right.
I mean, birds, you know, like, I mean, a lot of horror, like Wes Craven, he took Freddy Krueger from some experiences he really had. Sure. Like, there's a lot of, like, people take real life experiences and turn them into a horror film.
Oh, yeah.
Like that movie, The Holiday. With Jack Black. He creeps me out in that movie.
Yeah, you said some horror movies, and then you said The Holiday.
Yeah, Jack Black freaks me out, man. Right? So he saw these stories, and he said, I think birds would be great. And they wanted to harass a blonde woman, like Hitchcock always did. And then Tippi Hedren. And then the birds harassed the blonde woman, and they got tired, and the movie ended.
Yeah, that's a very rational answer to that question.
I wonder what would happen if Hitchcock, instead of birds, chose sloths.
But then everyone would have died. No one would have been walking to their car at the end.
Sloths are hiding in plain daylight.
The sloths.
They are fast, and they know what they're doing.
The silent killer.
They are waiting. There's no way something that slow could still be alive.
It's those claws. It's those claws.
I don't care if they can climb trees. If I was a gang of seagulls and I knew sloths were around, I would eat them.
They've got those long claws.
Yeah, they're so slow with them.
You think?
Yeah. That's why they're still around, for sure. That's why no one attacks them. If I was a puma and I could climb trees, I knew a sloth was up there, I'd have dinner.
They're like those old kung fu masters, like from the Hong Kong theater, like the 100-year-old guy who's all slow making his tea. And then when the bad guys come, like he Shaolin monks, like 89 of them.
Yeah. And remember Ice Age? Sid the Sloth is not slow.
No, but he was a Leguizamo, like super hyper speaky sloth.
I'm telling you, they're hiding in plain. Like, if it was about sloths, everyone would be dead. Sloths have their feet, they have two hands, two legs to slit your throat with, four different weapons. Think of like, they're basically like the Chinese Star of animals.
Of course.
What is it? Is it throwing knives? Chinese throwing stars?
Chinese stars, you got it. The little throwing knives are like shurikens.
Yeah, they just throw each other and like they'll slice up everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I guess that's the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Is the Chinese stars of the animal kingdom?
Sure. All right. Well, I think we have time for one more listener question before we go on break.
Right. Yeah. So back in episodes, think about how far we're going back, guys. Like, we're on episode 94 now, I think. So back in episodes 28 and 31, we did two podcasts just about Wes Craven movies and Wes Craven tributes. So hearkening back to that, Josie asks, like 89 questions in one question. In A Nightmare on Elm Street, are the kids alive or dead at the end? The closing scene in the original and the remake alludes to the bus being driven by Freddy. So does that mean that they're all stuck in the dream world? Or are they all dead? Or are they all still dreaming? It seems like Nancy is reunited with everyone who supposedly died, but later in the sequels, Nancy is the only one who survived. Why wasn't her father killed by Freddy? What does he get out of killing their kids and not their actual parents who burned him alive? And why only kill Nancy's mother and not her father, especially since it is implied that Nancy's father was the ringleader? So there's 89 questions from Josie. Now, we covered a lot of this.
Wes Craven didn't want this ending.
Could you review that, Mark? Because that's even vague for me, that he didn't want that ending.
No, he didn't want it. It was going to end on a nicer note, but then they like completely redid it, and then that's the whole car thing. Craven hates that ending. Huh. So by putting in that stupid ending, it brings up a lot of questions. They're like, oh, yeah, just bring him back. Sequel, baby. I don't know who this guy is, but I like him. Hey, wow. This is what we're going to do. We're gonna take him. We're going to put these people in a car. It's Freddy.
You're talking like a Dick Tracy bad guy.
It's Freddy. And they're going to get in the car, and the thing closed on top of him. Freddy kills him.
Yeah, see?
Hey, buggy. Here's what we're going to do, see?
See, she brought up one thing that I feel like the one thing that we never touched on before is how, yes, they go for the kids and not the parents. And yes, Freddie went for the mom. Why did Freddie never even make an effort at the dad? Like, do you think that he wanted people to suffer
went after kids.
And the mother.
Yeah, and so here's a grown man. He's probably, like, afraid of them. Until the third one. But he was probably just like, I'm a mess of teenagers. That's my best Freddie.
You sound like someone strangely who I am.
Yeah, teenagers. Yeah, give me. And I mean, what horror movies, like, you don't want to see parents being killed. No. You want to see teenagers.
Yeah.
In the 80s, it was all about killing teenagers.
Yeah, you know, if there was only the first Noe's movie, I feel like it wasn't a horrible ending, like, even though Wes Craven didn't want it, as you brought up. Like, it was a neat ending because, yeah, sure, it makes people think, like, was it a dream, was it not a dream? And, yeah, we covered that, but it was a neat little thing. But, yeah, I never really stopped to think about the actual, like, maliciousness of going for the kids and just leaving that dad. And even going for the mom and leaving the dad.
Yeah, I mean, he was interested in the week because I've always said this, Freddy Krueger's a little bitch. Sorry for the language. I hate him. Attacks people in dreams. He's just a wimp.
Yeah. Well, it's also, he's kind of like the video game troll who's, like, been playing that game for a year and you just started and he's going to push you around because you don't even know the rules yet.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the kids were in the first movie.
He's like that guy that's good at foosball and you're not.
Yeah, you don't even know the rules. Like, if you're teaching someone how to play tennis, you don't go full on and try and ace them on every serve.
Yeah. He's just a jerk. He's a bully. That, you know what?
I would not play tennis with Freddy.
Ghostface from Scream, right? Like, dude just had a knife. And most of the time, he was falling all over the place. Like, he gave people plenty of chances to escape. Like, I don't respect the killer, obviously, who attacks teenagers. But, you know, at least he was a human with a knife. Like, Freddy was, like, long arms and messing with people and playing games. And he's just a jerk. I don't like him. I don't think he's tough. And then when he came in the real life, didn't he get hit in the nuts with a sledgehammer?
I don't know if he got hit in the nuts, but he...
I remember him dropping really easily. I'm like, what a punk.
Oh, yeah, because that little light bulb bomb that she made, like, that messed him up.
And, yeah, I'm serious. The troll from Ernest Scared Stupid wrecked my dreams. But I remember when I was a kid and watching Freddy get beat up, I'm like, this guy's a chump. Like, I've never liked Freddy.
You know, because he never had to play by real rules before.
He was just chump change. He was.
It's like he always had the cheat codes, and then all of a sudden he had to play by the rules, and he was falling apart.
Yeah, he's decent. I don't know.
He's like he's your typical Xbox Live gamer, is what you're saying.
If you met him in real life.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never played Halo before. I don't know what you're talking
about. Apparently, Brendan Rouse said that, like, everyone hates Superman Returns, but no one's ever told them that they don't like Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Freddy's that guy online that said he hates Superman Returns.
Until one day, Jay and Silent Bob show up at his doorstep.
Yeah, that's right, and they beat him up. I don't know. Right? And then, so, I thought she was alive.
Yeah.
Nancy, because she lived till, like, the third one, then she got killed.
Right.
I agree. Yeah, just mainly based on that fact. I'm just like, yeah, it just, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense either way. Like, it's kind of, it just hurts thinking about it. But I'm just like, yeah, I have to say she's alive as well. So.
Mm-hmm. It is all the more interesting that, like you said, Wes Craven didn't want that ending. And he was only involved in the writing of part two. And part two basically just treated part one as something that happened and wasn't a continuation of any of the same characters.
I'm telling you, some guy was like, yeah. Freddy, yeah. Freddy Carr. Yeah. Merchandising.
And what was it? It was like the beginning of Freddy 3 that had Freddy Bus.
Yeah, exactly. See, it went, yeah, Freddy Bus. Like, I'm telling you, I don't know, that ending, it just, they just wanted to, like, at the end, Craven really originally wanted it to be like a happy ending. But instead they put him in a car and Freddy shut his convertible on him.
And even a happy ending in horror is very bittersweet because all our friends are dead.
Yeah.
Like, but like she's alive, something. Da, da, da,
da, yeah. Da, da. And then like maybe she hears something like,
hey. Oh,
yeah.
Right. I'm watching you. He may as well just be coughing sequel.
I'll be back for the sequel. It's like, what? That would have been better than a Freddy car.
Was that Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's going to be the next Freddy Krueger.
Now that's Freddy Krueger I would not want to mess with.
Yeah, I know. I do want to say, guys, my coughs were so good that Levengood was legitimately worried for me.
I was concerned.
See? Maybe I just out Jackman.
I was going to drive up there and give you the Heimlich.
Okay, that was a good cough. Mark with the good cough.
All right, so is that the final answer for this question?
Sure.
Good coughs. It's two coughs. Good coughs and Freddy buses.
Right. All right, guys. I think now is a good time to take a break. I think we're going to try to find Mark some cough syrup. Help him out with that cough. But in the meantime, we'll see you guys in a little bit.
Hey, podcast listeners. This is Kyle from Word of the Bay.
And Nick.
And we're here to talk to you about Word of the Bay.
Yeah, Word of the Bay.
Yeah.
What is Word of the Bay?
Well, God, it's a Tampa Bay sports podcast. What is Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay is the Tampa area. St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater.
So we talk about sports and other things.
Which include Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Lightning, and Tampa Bay Rays.
And another bay, which is slipping my mind.
Oh, I don't even know what that bay
is. Hey, guys, what are you guys talking about?
Nothing.
Oh,
hey.
Jonathan, this is our third host, Jonathan.
Well, did I just walk in on something?
No, you're fine. But if you want to listen to Word of the Bay, go ahead and go to www.sharkdropper.com
and check us out. Yeah.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. Just gave Mark a couple spoonfuls of Robitussin.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah. I think Robitussin's one of the tastier medicines out there.
It's also easily replenishable. I mean, you run out of Tussin, put some water in the bottle, shake it up, more Tussin.
Oh, I'm glad to know my family wasn't the only one that did that.
Well, I know Chris Rock's family did it.
No, it's I don't know. Robitussin just kind of, I'm not saying like you should go out and just drink Robitussin like it was like it's a soda, but I don't know. It's just, it was one of the more enjoyable medicines growing up. This podcast is brought to you by Robitussin.
Please, I would love to be sponsored by Robitussin.
Sponsored by anybody, really?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
Red Bull.
All right. Well, before we get back to the topic of listener questions, I think we have a listener question to answer.
Yeah,
right?
Before we get back to those other listener questions, we're going to do a listener question.
Okay, awesome.
So, next question, recall back, God, way back again, episode 33, we did John Carpenter versus Rob Zombie. We did the Halloween versus Halloween. So Josie is asking, what the hell is Michael Myers anyway? The guy gets stabbed, impaled, and falls out of a really, really high window, and he doesn't die. He never dies. Now that is Jason from Friday the 13th. So what are they? Are they ghosts? Are they zombies? And if we hearken back...
Four episodes.
I know that Mark... So I've noticed something. Not that this is a totally unique thought. But between myself, Mark, and Lazabeth, Mark is the researcher. I'm the zany responder. And Lazabeth is the snarky responder. He reacts. Like, this is our odd dynamic. And so Mark's research in the past has illustrated that Michael Myers was some druidic force of evil. Like, he's some pure evil created by druids. And Jason was from the curse of Crystal Lake, which is a pretty vague thing, unless I'm forgetting something, Mark. But I guess she's really asking, though, like, what actually are these things that are walking around killing people?
Cash machines.
The franchise cash machines.
That's right.
You know, I got to make a fair point. She says that Michael Myers gets stabbed, impaled, and falls out of a really, really high window and doesn't die. You know who else does that? Jason Statham, Van Damme, Schwarzenegger.
Vin Diesel.
I'm just saying, like, I think that all these guys in one movie have been stabbed, shot, and dropped out of, like, you know, more than a second story drop.
In the second Triple X movie, Donnie Yen gets shot in the gut, and 5 minutes later, everyone's forgotten about it.
Whoa, Donnie Yen is in the second Triple X movie?
Yeah.
You mean the one with Ice Cube?
Yeah. No, the third one. The third Triple X.
The new one?
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen also. But,
that's not a spoiler. But, like, people get shot in the... I'm tired of getting... All right, so, Lazvath, if you walked up to me and slugged me in the shoulder, it would really hurt. If you walked up to me and shot a bullet clear through my shoulder, it would be terrible.
Hmm.
I don't think 10 minutes later I'd be climbing a ladder.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever climbed a ladder with a bullet hole in your shoulder?
Never.
So, how do you know if you never tried?
I guess I could use one hand.
Yeah.
I've done that before when I have a leaf blower in my other hand. Actually, I've done that.
So back in episode 9.
Hey, wait, I want to go back to talking about ladder work. Please. Who could climb a ladder faster?
Jackie Chan.
Michael Myers. Jason Voorhees. Freddy Krueger. Or the Leprechaun.
Well, question is, like, which one of those would even bother trying to use a ladder?
The Leprechaun would just fart a rainbow and propel himself up.
So they're all in the real world, and the only way they can get to you is via ladder.
but the Leprechaun can fart rainbows in the real world.
That's gross. I don't want farting rainbows.
I think he can.
Jason wouldn't climb a ladder.
He'd just look up it and then, like, walk away or something.
Yeah, he would just quit.
And Michael Myers would probably look up it, get angry, and knock it down, and then start knocking down pillars if it was Rob Zombie's Michael Myers.
Yeah, he would just destroy your home.
Until you fall through the ceiling.
He would Kool-Aid Man everything in your house.
And Freddy would be like...
come on up and get me, Freddy. He's like, no, you're a 34-year-old man.
He'd scramble. He scrambles.
He's like, you're too old.
Freddy does a lot of scrambling.
Yeah,
I think
he works at IHOP.
So. I think Michael Myers could do it. Wait, he scrambles at IHOP?
No, it's like, no, he said, like, he does a lot of scrambling. I'm like, well, he must work at IHOP. Yeah, see what I did. Yeah,
anyway. International House of.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway.
Yeah.
So back in episode 90, Mark, that was when you reviewed the whole Druidic. Like backstory that I think came up in like what Halloween 4 or 5 about how Michael Myers is pure evil and he keeps coming back.
Peter Gabriel,
okay, like he's something, right? He's like, could he be like a demon that they summoned to embody that body?
It's a boring demon.
Whatever, man. Not all demons are created equally.
When I think about demons, I think about the red lipstick demon. I think
That demon was the ace of his class. All right, I'm talking like the George Bush, no demon left behind demon.
But he's boring. Everyone loved George Bush in university.
No, I mean George Bush is like no demon left behind. Like the dumb demon, like even he needs a job.
Like if I summoned a demon and it was Michael Myers, I'd be like, this sucks.
So have you guys seen White Zombie?
Demons don't drive.
We'll get to that.
Demons don't. I don't think so. That's the original zombie film.
Yeah, the first zombie, or at least I think it's the first zombie movie from like 1931 or 32. White Zombie. Back when zombies weren't brain eating things, they were kind of resurrected to exact vengeance of the summoning shaman. And like, I can't help but to wonder, like. Could that be what Jason kind of is with the curse of Crystal Lake? And that's why he keeps coming back, because whatever the entity is that empowers the curse is kind of re-summoning Jason to exact some revenge.
Yeah, I'd buy that more than Michael Myers, because Michael Myers still wants to kill his sister 20 years later.
I think there's some deep-seated Freudian issues there.
He might be a mutant.
You mean like an X-Men mutant?
Because he heals quickly.
He either heals quickly or he has eight of every organ.
So Michael Myers is a mutant.
He could be a mutant. I'll buy that. That's actually pretty legit.
Because in the 70s, they just would have thrown you in jail. Like, are you a mutant?
Okay. In Logan, we touch on Weapon 23 and 24. In the other X or Marvel-linked movies, we only go up to Weapon 11, which is Deadpool. So somewhere in between, like Weapons 12 to 22, you could have had Michael Myers.
He's a mutant.
And don't forget, Michael Myers didn't start until what? 81, 80?
78, well, right?
70. Oh, so I'm sorry, 78. Yeah, 78. Well, I mean, Logan was running around in World War II. So there was plenty of time for one of those other weapon projects to generate Michael Myers. So some druid who was a government scientist, I'm not going to finish this thought.
Yeah, I mean, he's a druish government scientist. He infiltrated the government and he said, I'm going to make, you know, my own mutants, right? So he takes this really boring kid. He imbues him with really boring powers. And then the kid escapes, murders some people. Then he just wants to kill his sister.
You know, the interesting thing is that it's probably much easier to convince the really boring person into becoming a mutant than someone who's like an Olympian or, you know, like a bodybuilder or whatever, or a ninja, or, you know, someone who would be good at killing or being tough. Like, yeah, it's the regular boring guy who's going to want to do that.
They'd be more willing.
Yeah, I think that this is – I think we're onto something.
He's a mutant. What say you, Laz?
I agree. I don't know.
That is a mutant.
That is a mutant. Yeah.
And Jason's just kind of a dum-dum.
So we never came to a consensus on what they were in a previous podcast, because I thought we did. Or maybe we just kind of touched on it.
Well, no, Mark had revealed the true evil. That Michael Myers was true evil. But at the same, like, that was an answer. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it left me wondering, like, but yeah, he's true evil. But what is that, I guess? And Jason, we tease Jason a lot. We've brought up Jason in a lot of I did a search on our website, by the way, and I couldn't even form a good list of how many times we mentioned Jason.
Yeah.
Like, he's come up a lot. We've talked about his diet. We've talked about his bicep curls. We've talked about why he doesn't waste away. We've talked about what his exercise regime is. I mean, we talked a lot about Jason, but we never really talked about what's going on with him.
Right.
Nothing. He's just a big dum-dum.
I think the obvious, the obvious thing to do would be to say that he's a zombie, but they're never really like hungry for anything except for murder. But
a murder zombie?
Tell you, that's the juju zombie right there.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It's somewhere between like a zombie and just some type of demon. Somewhere in between.
Well, no, it's the zombie before the Romero era.
Oh,
it's the actual zombie in folklore.
He's like
as opposed to Romero's invention.
He's the Weekend of Bernie's of zombies.
So you're saying like the Michael Myers and Jason, like those are like the actual true zombie movies.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that about Myers. I'm enjoying the mutant thing, but I'd also go with like he could be like the dumb demon that got planted in a body.
Oh, okay.
Like to go with Mark's pure evil, that would be my kind of parallel hypothesis.
I see. Okay.
Like, you know, not all demons are going to be like, you know, doing calculus and stuff.
I don't think he's dumb, Michael Myers. I think he's smart. He's just boring.
Well, like let's make him a velociraptor.
He's milk toast.
Like the velociraptor, you couldn't teach a velociraptor to say one sentence in Spanish if you took a year.
How do you know?
But that velociraptor, I tried. That velociraptor is going to hunt very cleverly.
Oh yeah,
because she's a clever girl. Mm.
No, we got it.
I didn't want to leave any listener behind.
Oh,
no listener left behind.
The first one always distracts you.
You should quit with the cleverly. I was like, he's going to leave it at cleverly. That's a good one.
No, it's like, I couldn't.
And then you went like a clever girl, and I went, no! You almost pulled the triple Lindy, but you hit the final board.
Like with my chin.
Yeah.
Like it was a horrible fumble.
All right. Who would do a better triple Lindy? No, I'm joking.
I'm going to go with. Oh, that's tough.
I think Jason.
Is it just between Jason and Michael?
Jason could do it.
I feel like Jason would do it by accident.
Yeah, that's how it would be.
Like he'd fall off a roof, and there was like a pool in the backyard. Well, now that we've answered our listener question, we can move on to the other listener questions.
Oh, yes, cool.
I like it.
So following up on Jason, why does Jason in Friday the 13th wear a hockey mask? Minor correction, he didn't do that until the second or third movie.
Third one,
okay. But why a hockey mask? Did he like hockey? Can't seem to remember any mention of why he would pick up that mask. Now,
the 3D effects supervisor was a hockey fan, and they wanted to put a mask on him because they were tired of doing makeup. They didn't want to do a makeup test. So he put his Detroit Red Wings mask on him, and it looked cool with the arrows. So then they did some molds, and they fixed the arrows, and that became his iconic look.
Okay, so Jason keeps coming back in every movie. I guess he has the mask still on him. That's why he keeps wearing the mask.
Yeah.
And he found the mask the same way he found that burlap sack. He was just like, he was like, hey, I'm a zombie, and this is the first thing I can find to cover my face.
Yeah, and that's because the 3D effects supervisor liked the Detroit Red Wings.
And the previous special effects advisor liked the burlap sacks.
Yeah, so they were like, well, we've already done the sack. So then they were going to do a mask, and then they just decided that on the whim, and it looked pretty cool. And that's where the thing came from, and it became iconic.
But what if he was a fan of, like, the Detroit Lions instead of Detroit Red Wings? He just wore, like, a football helmet.
He was a fan of 1920s football?
There's, like, an alternate reality out there where Jason just wore, like, a football helmet instead of a hockey mask.
Jason would have been that much more invulnerable if he did wear a football.
He's a Seahawks fan?
It's like...
What if he was wearing all those pads? I mean, he's so slow to begin with, it would barely affect him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not scrambling like Freddy.
What about catcher's mask? Was that like a...
I mean, I like it. I think there's some nice chin protection.
Sure. But would he be squatting all the time, though? Just waiting for a victim to run into his mitts?
He's just like hanging out in the shrubs.
Yeah, just waiting to tag you out.
Yeah.
Ew.
I mean, we've covered a lot of Jason.
Wait, so. Three strikes, you're out. Just he's like
done. You're done.
Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
What would be the least? So the hockey mask is pretty intimidating. What would not be intimidating?
Golf glove.
On his head?
On his hand. He just puts on a golf glove.
Interesting.
A Zorro mask? That's not going to protect him very much.
Nope. So, man, burlap sack. I just spun that thing around.
What if Giant Jason had the Yoda mask from E.T.? It covers like a quarter of his face.
He could wear a president mask and join the crew from Point Break.
Oh, there you go.
The ex-Jasons.
I wonder if he just the 3D effects supervisor liked hockey.
Sure.
That's interesting. I don't know if we brought that up before. I don't remember that. That's interesting. Oh, you know what? We haven't discussed Friday the 13th, the movie, before. That's why.
Yeah, a bunch of randy campers.
We've discussed an awful lot of horror movies and franchises, but we've actually never discussed in a podcast for topic an actual Friday the 13th. The next Friday the 13th movie comes out, which will be the 13th Friday the 13th movie, whenever the hell that is. That's got to be a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We can do the remake.
Speaking of podcasts that need to be a podcast, I think we're just like 2 months away from the Movies, Films, and Flicks presents
Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending. This is really a thing, people.
I'm worried, guys. Tickets. I'm worried.
It'll be fine.
I actually started getting nervous a couple weeks ago when I was reflecting on it.
That's good.
This is actually going to happen.
Well, that's a good thing.
Okay. So my next two questions, our last two questions, I feel like we've covered a good bit, but you never know. Maybe we'll have some new sparks fly. So in podcast episodes 78 and 7, we discussed Michael Myers' mobility quite a bit. Back in 7, we addressed his walking. That was a pretty early iconic episode for us. And in 78, we just compared the Halloween movies. So in the first Halloween movie, who the hell taught Michael Myers how to drive? He's been in a psychiatric facility since he was 8 years old. So how does he escape a hospital in his 20s or 30s and somehow know exactly how to drive? We discussed this, and I swear I must have been in some like Will Ferrell old school zone, because I like blacked out and don't remember anything from that discussion.
I like to think that he didn't know how to drive, and it was just the worst drive ever.
He was going very slowly, wasn't he?
And he was like, I took a left when I should have taken a right.
Zigged when I should have zagged.
Like, he hit some signs, ran some red lights. He didn't know how to work the defroster, so he put down the window and, like, rubbed it down with his hands. Like, it was a miserable trip for him. And since it was raining and so late at night and no one lives in that town anyway, no one was on the road and he got away with it.
What if when he started the car, and I don't know how, maybe from television he knew to put it into drive and accidentally had his foot on the brake or something. When he took his foot off the brake, it started to go, but he didn't know there was something to make it go faster. So that's why whenever we see him driving, he's basically idling or stopping.
Yeah,
and he doesn't even know that the gas pedal does anything.
And he can't go up any hills.
it was Southern Illinois, right?
Yeah, I guess it was pretty flat.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He can totally idle.
Like, he basically, like, if they would have filmed that, it would have been like 6 hours of him just idling down a road in the rain, like looking lost and trying to change the station because he hates the stupid country music that's playing.
And it was totally the middle of the night when he escaped from that psych facility, right? So, yeah. And it wasn't until, wait, was it the middle of the night? And it was the next day, daytime, when Laurie Strode is leaving school on Halloween. So he had all overnight and then the whole school day.
So he basically had 14 hours to drive, like, two.
Like, I mean, even if it's give or take, like, we could be off by 6 hours, and he had plenty of time to idle all the way there.
Yeah, you could plus or minus 4 hours on each side.
A day.
And he just drove terribly.
So do you think that whatever skills that he got from, like, because you mentioned, Mark, like, he's thoughtful. He's not necessarily a dum-dum. He just moves slowly, right? Like, maybe whenever he was transferred, like, for if they ever had a medical consult or something.
No, like, he never left.
You don't think so? So you don't – maybe he was just watching TV a lot? Like, he was watching Chips?
Yeah. Like, he would have been great on a motorcycle. Horrible in a car.
Like, if he had a motorcycle, he would have been buzzing around like Triple X.
Like, he was 8. He saw the shit. He saw the cars. Like, he knew what was up. Like, so he just drove really slowly, ran over some curbs, went the wrong way, bought some Kit Kats.
I mean, how old was Short Round in Temple of Doom? He couldn't have been older than 13, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he knew how to drive.
He was driving like a NASCAR ace.
Yeah, kids, I'm telling you, he did not know how to drive. He knew the basics of it. It'd be like me riding a motorcycle right now. It would look horrible.
I buy that.
Yep.
I already look horrible.
I've already driven a motorcycle into a mailbox when I was 18. And I was wearing shorts and the sandals, and I burned my leg real bad and worked the work at Burger King. I think I've told that story.
When I was 18, I drove my car over a mailbox.
Nice. You ET'd it?
It was not nice.
Yeah, so like,
Yeah. He didn't know how.
Oh,
it was a what do you think, Laz?
Was the car automatic or manual?
Probably a manual. Or probably automatic.
Yeah. Automatic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, not to sound snobby, but if it was an automatic, you don't really need to be taught how to drive. Like, it's just kind of, I mean, you figure it out on your own. But, like, a manual is just like, yeah, you need some help. If the car was a manual in the first Halloween movie, it could have prevented so much rampage.
You're right.
So much death. Michael Myers would never made a driveway of the asylum. Like, he would just stall the car.
That might be one of the most iconic movie scenes of all time. Watching him jump into the car, then
and then he gets pissed off and beats and stabs the hell out of the hood of the car.
Yeah. You hear him banging his head against the steering wheel.
Then the credits start rolling.
The shape really refers to the dent in the hood of the car.
The shapes.
Yeah.
All right. Following up on Halloween, Josie asks, now I'm pretty sure, again, that we've covered a lot of this, but we seem to somehow find new material. And Josie, by the way, I'm sorry if you feel self-conscious that I decided to use all your questions at once, but I also hope that you're listening to be embarrassed. In the first sequel to the original Halloween movie, 1981's Halloween 2, where the hell is everyone working in the hospital? Where are all the patients? In every hospital I've ever been to, the whole thing is packed with people and patients, especially around the holiday. So they've rescued Jamie Lee Curtis from a serial killer. And everyone knows it's an escaped mental patient. But somehow she shows up to the hospital where there is a total of one doctor and two nurses and zero patients otherwise. As she runs screaming through the entire facility, not one other human being shows up at all. And not another patient, not a visitor, not a medical employee. Where the hell are all the people? Interesting question. We have discussed this. Again, this question was submitted before we did our episode 78. But I think it's fair. That was a conveniently vacant hospital.
It's a small town.
Oh.
It could be a small town, but that was a big hospital.
Everyone's in their house.
That was a big hospital.
If you know a killer's on the loose, you're inside.
That hospital was four stories.
If you work in a hospital and you know a killer's out, you're going home.
Oh. I guess everyone's... Okay, Mark, that is legit. People are calling in sick left and right. What can you do? It's not like you're going to their house to check.
I am leaving town. That idiot is back.
What about the patients?
I'm leaving town, too.
They just limped out.
They just left. They stretched them out of there. They rolled them down the one hill.
That might be fair, actually. You know, that might be fair.
If there's killer, and then those other people are like, I'm not worried about it. I'm tough. You know what I mean?
Sure.
What would you do, Lazavath?
See, what would I do if I was in that hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would be kind of nice. It's just
What was I there for? Was it an inpatient thing or?
Oh no, Lazavath.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know, because I have like spent some time in hospitals for like nothing major, but like it's just hospitals aren't like fun places to be, and I don't know, if I was in that situation, I'd just like want some alone time. So I think that situation would just be kind of nice, aside from the murdering psychopath that's on my tail. But other than that, like I think that would be nice to just kind of rest in the hospital bed, just chilling. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, is there cable?
No. There's usually cable, right?
You got some good magazines. They're up to date with their subscriptions.
There's some Jello. There's always Jello.
Jello.
It's okay.
And there's no one there, so you have to eat a ton of Jello.
I mean, there's always room for Jello. Yeah, see what it is.
Jello is very low in calories anyway. It's fine. Don't worry about the Jello.
It's also low in flavor.
And like you could watch. You probably the New York Giants had a good Super Bowl run in '91. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
You're just sort of watching sports. You're eating Jell-O. No one's bothering you. Everyone left because they know there's a killer around. And sounds like you survived. So you're doing great.
Sure.
I mean, Jamie Curtis survived.
I mean, yeah, I just think, you know, it was a small town, killer on the loose, people are home. Hey, wait, Laurie Strode's at the hospital? I'm going to the other hospital. The other hospital was crazy.
You know, I do need to make one correction to Josie's question. She said there was one doctor and two nurses. There was also the orderly who was supposed to meet that nurse in the hot tub that they had in the hospital who got drowned and blistered and everything in the hot tub.
I think the other hospital was really busy because no one wanted to go to this hospital because Laurie was there.
Is this like a Springfield Shelbyville thing?
Yep. So the other one was like really understaffed. They were getting crushed. But they just don't want to be around Michael Myers.
That's a pretty reasonable thing.
They didn't cooperate well with the Affordable Care Act or something.
Yeah.
That's right. That's just my two cents.
They're fair points.
I believe it. Sure. I think it really nailed the nuance.
I feel if you were to Frankenstein stitch together all of our answers about Michael Myers, you would have the definitive explanation for all things Michael Myers.
Or not. Maybe you'd be even more confused. Maybe you end up being more confused than when you first started.
We give very clear answers, clear and succinct answers to our listener questions, Laz.
Sure. That's how you want to put it.
I mean, they're clear and succinct, but they're not.
But they're not clear or succinct.
I mean, they're clear and succinct and not being clear and succinct.
They're not too, what's the word? Correct?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I think that should be pretty obvious if you've ever listened to.
You proved to me that Jason Voorhees is not a Haitian juju zombie.
I mean, he was a kid.
Yeah.
And the last of those movies was 31. I think he just met like a little like water creature down there and it turned him.
Awesome.
Like the water horse.
Maybe he's a cabin in the woods killer.
Ooh. He could be. He could have been engineered by Sigourney Weaver's government.
There we go. Boom. Done.
In a world where the god Cthulhu exists.
Is that what that movie's from? Is Cthulhu in there?
Well, like, they didn't call him that, but it was like that tentacled giant that reached up at the end of Cabin in the Woods. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. I thought his name was Hank.
Yeah. That could be like his stage name.
Big Hank?
Yeah, when he's reaching his giant hand up to grab people.
Nice. All right.
So I guess that's the final answer.
Big Hank. Big
is Hank's giant hand.
Yeah. So is that it for all of Josie's? Well, I know that's not all of Josie's questions, but is that it for all of Josie's questions tonight?
That's actually accurate. There are a few others for future podcasts. Yeah. Yes, still.
Awesome. Well, Josie, I hope you enjoyed the special podcast dedicated to your questions.
And if she's not embarrassed, I hope she pastes it all over her social media.
Sure. All right. Well, before we say goodbye, guys, are there any plugs you want to make?
I'm good.
Okay.
So we always got to give our shout out to Shark Dropper Studios and Laz for our editing.
Sure.
I'm going to give a shout out to Crash Palace from the Last Knock podcast because their last few episodes they've been giving us some kind shout outs and I'll continue to shout back. I like listening to their podcast and they seem to like listening to us. And their last episode they covered the XX movie. Mark, have you heard of that?
The XX?
Yeah, it's a horror anthology where all of the directors are women.
No.
I think it's on like on demand now. I intend to watch it. And shout out to them too. That's just a neat theme. But yeah, Crash Palace, Shark Dropper, Laz, You're the Man, XX Movie.
Sure. Also, shout out to Robitussin. The allergy season's coming up, so if you feel a little cough or a sniffle or just any type of ailment, just reach for that Robitussin. It's available.
I mean, and if you run it low, you just add some water and shake it up.
It's Carl Weathers approved.
Sure. More Tussin.
There you go. This podcast has not been brought to you by Robitussin.
Unless they send a check, Robitussin.
Sure. All right. Awesome. That does it for a podcast, guys. For my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer. Oh. Someone needs some more Robitussin. John Levengood.
Just add water.
I'm your host, John Lasser. Thank you so much for listening in. We'll see you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.